Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah 53. Now, be confident in the promise, I guess, is the name of my teaching. And if you really want to build your faith, you put on the word, you search out the promises. Well, one of the things you ought to do is meditate on how great and awesome our God is. All that he has done, all that he has created. The bigger you make God in your heart, and the bigger you see him, the easier it is to understand that every word of his word will come to pass and that there will be no problem. He's not a man that he should lie. You know, what I want to focus on tonight is what Yahweh has done for us through Christ Jesus our Lord. All the promises concerning what Jesus Christ has accomplished and done for us that are in the church epistles, they are there so that you and I literally grab them, hold on to them, and walk out in them. And I know that so many times for me in my life, as I've read the scriptures, I read, because I've read them so many times, you read kind of over things and, oh yeah, I know that that's there. But you got to grab, you got to look at it, and you got to grab it. And you got to really hold on to it. You know, the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, make known what Jesus Christ did and what he taught. The book of Hebrews is almost like a fifth gospel. It talks about what Jesus Christ is doing, who he is, what he's doing now. And the church epistles tell us what he accomplished, you know, and as far as doctrine goes. But I want to start here in Isaiah 53. In Isaiah 53 and verse 4, it says, "Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken." Verse 4 again, "Surely he hath borne our griefs." That word griefs is sicknesses. "He has carried our sorrows," our pain. Another way to translate it. "Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. But he was wounded for," he was wounded for "our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace," or "for our peace, was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed." "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord, Yahweh, hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Jesus Christ bore it all. He bore our sins. He bore our iniquities. He bore our sicknesses. He's borne our pain. You know, and he went through that chastisement that he went through, that discipline of, and also the being beaten and all. It was for our peace. It's for we had peace. So we could have peace with our God. Now, the people who read this in the Old Testament, they didn't know who this was, necessarily. It was kind of a hidden thing to them. But it's not hidden to us, is it? Because of the other scriptures. So it was our griefs, our sicknesses, pains. He was wounded for our transgressions, for our iniquities. You know what iniquity is, right? And the difference between... Now, there's three words that are used, if I remember. You have for sin. You have transgression, sin, and iniquity. Iniquity is when you have a lifestyle of sin. Our entire lifestyle. That's why when he, not only our individual sins, but he has borne even the lifestyle of sin that we lived. He put it upon him. That's why that man who was next to him on the cross, a man who declared plainly that I deserve capital punishment, Jesus could simply say to him, today you will be with me in paradise. I'm telling you today, you're going to be with me. Lifestyle. Wiped away. Born by our Lord. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. See, this promise, this prophecy of our Lord, these statements that are made. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. In this section here is beautifully explained. See, Christ was the Lamb of God who took away the sins of the world. He was the sacrifice. The sacrifice that Yahweh required for the payment for Adam's sin, the sins of mankind. And that includes all the rest of them. For he hath made him to be sin for us, it says in 5:21. He hath made him to be sin for us, should be a sin offering. Who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. Our God, Yahweh, made him to be the sin offering, which God accepted. The innocent died. He was innocent. He knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The lamb, remember, that was sacrificed in the Old Testament, the type, an innocent animal died for the sins of the men. The innocence of that animal was transferred to man who offered it, and the sins was transferred to the animal. Jesus Christ was the sin offering. He was the one, God accepted that offering. All our sins were transferred to the innocent Christ who had no sin, who had never sinned against God. All our sins were transferred to him, if you and I identify with him. And all his righteousness is transferred to us. You and I, it says, are going to be joint heirs with Christ, right? You know what joint heirs means? You get everything that he gets. Is this fair?
No.
Everything. My Lord, who never sinned, who walked with the Father, who did everything in accordance with his will and never betrayed him, gave his life, died, was crucified, so much pain, so much against him. So much rejection and hate against him. Faithful in all that God Almighty gave him. And yet, you and I are going to get an equal inheritance with him, ultimately in paradise. What did I do to deserve this? Nothing. What did you do to deserve it? Nothing. It's what God chooses. Remember the parable? The guys go out in the field, they spend all day for a penny. And at the last hour, a bunch of guys are found. Go out and work. Then when you come back, I'll give you the same. I'll give you a penny. The guys that went out and bore the heat of the day, they complained. Hey, we've been out here all day long. You're going to give us the same thing you give the guys the last hour? That's not fair. hey, it's mine to do with what I want. It's God's to do with what he chose. He loved you. He sent his son as the sin offering for you and for me. And he's willing to give us, just like Sean said the other night in that beautiful parable in Luke 15 with the sons, mankind who squandered everything that God gave. Adam and Eve squandered everything. And he is willing to take us back, to put the ring on our finger, a cloak on our back, and say, rejoice, for my son which was dead is now alive. He even is willing to turn to the hard-hearted, pharisaical the hard-hearted pharisaical son who couldn't stand to rejoice when his brother came back, who wouldn't love him or accept him back, just complained that you're treating him too well. The father beseeched him, rejoice with me, for your brother was dead and now he's alive. God, that's his picture. That's the Father's picture of all of us. The hard-hearted, the pharisaical, and the absolute heathen. Jesus Christ was that sacrifice. He bore it all for us. Every single little bit of it. And that transfer, do you believe it? You accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. You believe God raised him from the dead. You accept that truth of the gospel. Yeah, that's the short version. That truth of the gospel. Everything is wiped. Your pain, your sickness, your sin, eternity, your blessings, peace with God is yours. Just one little verse. But do you believe it? That's the issue. That's the issue. Will you grab it? Will you hold it? Will you not let it go? And every time we sin and fall short, which we do, we know that he is faithful, right? He is faithful and just to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1:9. He is faithful. We have a Lord. We have a Savior who loved his Father and was willing to die and be the sacrifice for you and I. And right now he's sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, making intercession for you and for me. Go to Hebrews chapter 10. Verse 19. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We have boldness to enter into the Holy of Holies before our Father because of the blood of Jesus. You have direct, absolute access. The Old Testament tells you in the law a man couldn't come before the Father, not on his own. Israel wasn't allowed to. God anointed and picked a tribe, the Levites, to serve as an intermediary, all right, between them and God. You couldn't bring your sacrifice directly to God. You couldn't go in to the tabernacle. The Holy of Holies, only the high priest went in once a year and brought blood. You couldn't, and you would not be able to. And if you tried, you died. Everything about God was showing and teaching his people that man can't get to me, can't get to the Father, can't get to the Almighty because of the separation of sin. But God made provision. The Levites had washed so many times, so many days, wear such and such garments that he decided how they should look, what they should do, and anointed them specially. And I'll allow this. I'll allow a sinful high priest to come before me in the holy of holies once a year. Once. Because of what our Lord has done for us, because our high priest has entered into the tabernacle, the heavenly, he has given us by his blood, by his work, by his sacrifice, once and for all, access to the Holy of Holies. You can talk directly with boldness, boldness to your Father in heaven. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16. See, do you believe that you can come? Sometimes I don't hear people pray like that. So, you know, and I'm not judging your prayers or anybody else. This is a generic statement. I don't hear people pray, Father, Father, I need your help, and I know that I come before you, and I know you hear me, and I know you love me. I taught at a church not that long ago, a little church, and the people were just amazed that someone would pray like they knew God and that he was there. The people there saying, Lord, if you would maybe look down upon us and consider us and help us. But they weren't sure he did. They weren't sure he would. That's where most of Christianity's at. The promise is not theirs. They don't believe these words. I don't know what they do with them. I know when I was raised a Catholic, we didn't even hear this stuff. And then we're talking about millions of people. In chapter 4, in verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find help, find grace to help in time of need. Boldly before the throne of grace to obtain mercy and find grace. God still doesn't owe me anything. You know that? If he helps and blesses and loves, it's by his grace. Well, I know people think that they can get themselves whipped up and God will show up in the meeting. No. See, he's everywhere present. He was there all along. He was there when you were committing your sin. You just weren't with him. Look at 1 John. Is this like Christ died for this? It tells you your sins, your sickness. Now, I'm not just talking about this life. We're talking about sins for eternity. We're talking about sickness forever. I mean, new body, new mind, immortal. That's forever. It's not just now. It's really ultimately. It's God's choice. Well, we got boldness to come before this. You have a high priest that's sitting in that heavenly tabernacle, the real one, at the right hand of the throne of his Father. I love when we sing that song, Ancient Days is great too, but the one we sang the other day with the train of his robe. I see the Lord. I love that. It makes me cry every time. Because again, it magnifies God, magnifies who he is. And my Lord sitting next to him. And I have access. I have no blockage. You know, when my children ran in the house, they had access to their father. They had access to the refrigerator. There was no lock on it. There was never a time when my kids ran, and no matter what I was doing or who I was doing it with or teaching or anything else, that they were held off and rejected. They were asked to, you know, but if they needed me, they were hurt, if they were crying, everything else in life stopped. Because their father loved them. And I see that same picture with our God. 1 John, I told you to go to, and I didn't go there. 1 John chapter 3. Verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knows us not, because it knew him not. Behold, what manner of love. Just the verses that we've read so far. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. If you let it sink in, you run to him. You can run right to him with boldness. With boldness. As a child who is accepted. As a child that has no reason to doubt, the open arms of your Lord who died for you, your big brother, our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, or your Father who sent him to save you. Romans chapter 5. You take the word, you sink it in your soul. You make your mind shut up. I tell myself this all the time. McCabe, shut up. This is what God's word says. Who the heck do you think you are? Who do you think you are to think contrary to what your father says? What kind of arrogance is that? Chapter 5, verse 1, therefore being justified by faith. We have been justified. He justified us. You know what justification is? come before the court, God forbid, they come before the bench, the judge, they read out a list of sins. We will stand one day. You and I will stand one day and give an account for every idle word. It ain't going to be pretty. I don't exactly know when this is, but it isn't going to be pretty. And I'm going to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that I don't belong in the kingdom to come. Beyond a shadow of a doubt. And my Lord is going to walk up to the bench and he's going to say, I paid for that with my blood. And Almighty God is going to say, the judge is going to say, acquitted of all charges. Amen. Enter into the joy of your Lord. Being justified by faith, we have peace with God. Peace. Real peace with God. I'm no longer fighting with them. No longer, you know, and I picked up the Fitzsimmons baby today. And that little one, little cute little kid. I love little kids. I think you love your daughter too. Picked him up today and I was holding him on my arm. We're talking about peace. Right at that moment, he was at peace. I was at peace. This was like, great. Then I could give him back. You have peace with God. You don't have to worry about what he thinks about you. You don't have to worry about whether he's brewing in the back of his head. July 16th, 2019. What? You don't have to think any of that. We've been justified. We got peace. We've been acquitted of all charges. He bore our transgressions, our iniquities. He was sacrificed for our peace. The chastisement for our peace was upon him. He was brutalized so that we could have peace. Ephesians. Oh, let me read the rest of that. By whom also we have access, verse 2, by faith. Do you believe it? The people in the church I visited, the sweet folks, really nice people, but they don't believe it. I want you to believe it. I wanted them to believe it. But it takes telling yourself to shut up. It takes, no, this is what it says. This is the promise. This is a done deal. This is paid for. You make your mind track it, and then you can walk in it. And you don't betray it by doing whatever the heck you want to do. Stay faithful. We have access by faith. You got to have that confidence and trust. You have to have that confidence, sold out, burn the ship mentality, whatever else you've heard this week. You got to lock it in. Unto the grace wherein we stand and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Well, you know what your address is, folks? You can tell the postman it's glory. Send the mail to glory. Ephesians chapter 2. These are things you just have to hide. You have to make it. You have to lock it in. You have to, I mean, this hope of yours is sure and steadfast. God has swore. I swear. There ain't nothing, nothing going to stop this from happening. Except you. He says, stay faithful unto the end. Don't quit. You want to enter into the promised land? You know, read Hebrews chapter 4. Don't be like them. Ephesians chapter 2. I gotta hurry up. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 16. It says, and that he might reconcile, Christ might reconcile both Jew and Gentile unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. He has slain that which separated you and me from God. Thereby, he did that by the cross, the sufferings that he bore. And he came and he preached peace to you that were afar off, the Gentiles, and to them that were nigh, Israel. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. He has given us access by one Spirit unto the Father. You have received that Spirit. Now, therefore, we are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building is fitly framed together, grows into a holy temple unto the Lord. In whom you also are built together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. God and Christ in you, which is your hope of glory, has been paid for. It is a surety. You have access, peace, justification. You have been made as righteous as Christ. Because he has transferred it to you. That's a lot to swallow. It's a lot for me to swallow. Really a lot for me to swallow. That I literally am going to get the same inheritance as my Lord eventually. That is just, when I thought about that, I thought, wow, I really got to work on this. And then I read that parable. And I started working the word and realized, you know what? This is God's to do what he chooses with. I wouldn't have saved mankind, would you?
No.
I just would have started over. That's what I do when I cut the wood twice. You know, I cut it too short, just throw it out, get another one. Just start over. Our Father, he's not us. He don't think. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Plain and simple. You don't have to understand it. All you have to do is fight to keep the word, the promise, those things that have been told us and given to us. And you don't let yourself talk yourself out of it. We got access to the Holy of Holies. We can come boldly before the throne of grace. Jesus Christ took on him our iniquities. This is not our work. Tell me one thing you did right so far in this thinking here. You did none of this except believe the gospel, right? You did no work to receive any of this. But we got access by one Spirit unto the Father. Go to Romans chapter 8. we've all read this and loved this section time and time and time again. But I really want you to just hone in on it again. I want the next time you doubt yourself, doubt what God has done, doubt that you're going to go to kingdom. I got people, I hope I go. Come on. Come on. You call that faith? I call that not understanding what I just taught. That's what I call it. And I yell at myself the same I'm yelling at you. At you. Okay? That's Long Island. It's the truth. You got to fight. You got to fight the lies that come your way. Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. You know what we're predestined to? The Bible tells you what predestination's about. You are predestined to have the image of his son. None of this baloney, the other stuff. He predestined you to have a body like unto his glorious body. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he has justified, them he has also glorified. What shall we say then to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? If God decided this, if he has decreed it, if he has sent his son to pay for it, and it's a done deal, who is getting in his way from bringing it to pass? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? I know King James reads funny, but how, if he did this with Christ, how is he not going to do this? It's a guarantee. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? Is it God that justified? Is he going to be the one? And if he doesn't, do I care about what anybody else says, including the cave? That's what I mean. I'm my own enemy here. I'm the one that doesn't lock the brain in, tell me to shut up and discipline my mind and walk according to the promise of the word. I'm the one that's letting things slip between my ears. Who is he that condemns? Is it going to be Christ that died? Is he going to get off and condemn me? Yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of the hand of God, who also makes intercession for you and me. He is presently right now, your Lord, our brother, is alive right now. He is alive. He is seated at the right hand of the throne of God, and he is making intercession for you at this very second. And he doesn't stop. He doesn't stop. He's working harder now than he ever worked. I assume, figuratively. See, you and I, what's our response now? What's our response, really? You and I have been bought with a price, have we not?
Yes.
We have been bought back from sin. We have been set free. Absolutely free. He has given us the Spirit. When in John chapter 14, when the Lord said, these things have a context, right? In chapter 13, service. You serve like I served. You love like I have loved. And then you obey the Father the way I have obeyed him. And whatsoever you ask is yours. And the works that I do, you shall do. And greater works than these shall you do, because I go unto my Father. And I'm not going to leave you comfortless. I'm going to send you another comforter, he says to them. The same. It's going to be just like me. It's going to be Christ in you. His counsel. His help. You have access to the Father by this Spirit. You have access to the Father by this Spirit that he has poured out and given. You and I are now, because of what he has done, what's our response? We're to be ambassadors for Christ, right? We are his representatives now. I know most people, again, do you grab onto it? Do you hold it? Or is this like just a special moment, you know, when you think about it at the teaching? See, when you go to work day after day, and you're a garbage man, like I thought I was going to be, you know, walking behind the truck, sanitation guy, walking behind the truck, I don't like garbage man. You're doing this for the Lord. You're working heartily as unto the Lord. This is for the Lord. You're a witness for Christ doing your job, fixing the electric, messing with the plumbing, drilling people's teeth, whatever you're doing, you are a witness because you live with integrity. You're living your life in service to the Lord. You're raising your children to know the Lord. You're taking care of your spouse, no matter what kind of condition they're in at the moment. If they're a mess, come back, have a bad day at work, you're taking care of your spouse. They're out of sorts for some other reason. You're taking care of each other. You're doing it with the love of God in your heart. You're living for him day after day, hour after hour. It's not a special time when you start witnessing to somebody else necessarily. They'll come, but everything in your life is a witness. Because you're an ambassador. When you walk in the room, you're an ambassador for him. Our response is to live. Our life is a living sacrifice for him. Everything that our Lord has done, you and I had no work involved in it. We were dead people. We were dead in trespasses and sins. We were without God and without hope. And your Father, who loves you so much, sent his Son, paid it all. You've been purchased back from the devil himself. And you belong to Almighty God. And he asks you to be a witness. And he asks you to believe the promise and to be an ambassador, beseeching others in Christ's stead. That's our response. Stay faithful. Don't let go of the promise. Don't let go of the hope. Don't let, like it said in that Hebrews 12, you know, the sin which does so easily beset us, keep it away. Keep looking unto your Lord who has done all of these things. and then claim with boldness the promise, with great boldness. And boldness is not arrogance. It's not somebody owes me something. Boldness is because I have access. It's there. It's not loudness. It's, of course it's going to be there. It's just complete confidence. I want to go one more place here. Acts chapter 4, and then I'm going to ask you a question. Acts chapter 4. In the book of Acts, these men, they received the Spirit on the day of Pentecost, and their lives were changed dramatically. They went from being behind closed doors for fear of the Jews to speaking in front of thousands. And the same people who had said, basically, crucify him. The same people who had killed the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're standing there and speaking. And when they're taken in chapter 4, the Pharisees, the leaders, they take them in, the people who had killed Jesus. When they take them and they beat them, they go back to their brethren. It says, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported all that the chief priest and the elders said unto them. And when they had heard it, they lifted up their voice to God with one accord and said, now watch what they say. They have just been beaten. They've been threatened. Lord, Yahweh, thou art God, which has made the heaven and the earth and the sea and all that is in them is. By the mouth of thy servant David had said, why do the heathen rage and the people imagine vain things? From Psalm 2, the second Psalm. The kings of the earth stood up and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Messiah. For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together, for to do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined to be done. And now, Lord, behold their threatenings, and grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word, by stretching forth thy hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done by the name of thy holy child, Jesus. The apostles got it. It wasn't about them. This wasn't a persecution about their person. It wasn't about them. They weren't even asking God about themselves. They were asking the Lord, Lord, they all hate you. They all stand against you, Yahweh, and they stand against your Messiah. We are asking for more boldness to complete the mission. The world that we live in is run by the adversary, the devil. He hates God. And he hates the Christ. And you are the Lord's representatives. And he's going to pounce on you any which way he can to keep you from being what God has called you to be. They had so much boldness because they knew it wasn't about them. It wasn't about John. This was directed at God and the Messiah. Everything out there in this world now is really directed at God and the Messiah. You just happen to be his representative. Ask yourself, am I going to hold on to these things? Ask yourself, do you believe these truths? And will you lock in on them? Now, I know that there are those of you who have needs in this room. I know that you've got needs physically, spiritually, emotionally. All right? And you want, maybe you want to get prayed for. Maybe you want to be ministered to. Maybe you need help to believe these truths. And I want to invite those of you who want to be prayed for tonight. I want you to invite you to stand in your place or come up to the front if you want. And I also want, if anybody would like to take that opportunity, just come on up. And then I'd like those of you who are inspired to pray, your brothers and sisters, to come up and pray with them and for them.